All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Allah and Allah alone. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger and his slave servant. Let us begin today with the recitation of Al-Fatiha, the opening surah of the Quran. We'd like to offer that both in Arabic and the English rendering. So let us offer du'a. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-deen. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqeen. صراط الذين أنت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. I seek refuge with Allah against the rejected Satan. With the name Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher of all the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom they have bestowed their grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen.
As-salamu alaykum. Let us begin with Al-Fatiha. We'd like to recite it in the Arabic, and then we'll have the English translation for the benefit of our guests who are visiting with us who may not understand the Arabic language. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, sole judge of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen. Again, let me greet you all, the greetings of peace, assalamu alaikum, means peace be unto you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah waqtuhu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I make open testimony that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, the one God, and I make open testimony that Muhammad is his last and universal messenger prophet, the last prophet to all of humanity. Peace and blessings be upon him, upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous, all of them be peace. Ameen. And we pray Allah's peace and blessings be upon us here today. We would like to welcome you here on this, the second day of our stop on a national tour beginning in 1990 here in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's a great pleasure for me to say that it's always an excellent opportunity for us who travel from the colder regions of this country to come to a nice city like this where it's bright and sunshiny and warm and we didn't have to wear a coat. We could just come out in our jackets today. But back in Chicago, you know, you have to bundle up against the wind there. It's pretty cold. So it's always a pleasure for us to come into areas like this, and on our national tours we'd like to try to stop in the winter months. We like to come to places like this that's warm, and then in the summer months we go to places where it's generally cold in the winter time. And I'd like to state also that we should know, the people who support the affairs that we have around the country, that these affairs are promoted by us, that is Imam Waruddin Muhammad and his staff, and that they are put on by those people who you see who work closely with us. And we come into each and every city that we visit, and we seek to work with the believers in that particular city and establishing a successful function. And we had here great support from those believers of the Appreciation Dinner Committee, and we'd like to thank all of them, and Imam Shamsuddin also, who gave us support here in this city. Now, look at where we're at here today. We're on the desert here in Phoenix, Arizona. But we didn't come here just for the sunshine. We have a job to do in every place that we go to. Our leader, Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, we thank Allah for blessing us with such a person as himself. He is the man who comes and plants seeds. He plants the seeds, makes the environment right, makes the environment right for us, and plants the seeds for growth and development within us. Now look at the desert. Is this a place that you come and plant wheat and corn? No. You don't have those kind of crops here. You grow oranges and lemons and what have you. You do have some crops that are planted here. The point I'm trying to make is that there's a proper environment that's needed for each type of seed that you plant. There's a proper environment that is needed. So we have with us here a leader who knows what seeds to plant in each particular locale, in each environment. And I personally believe that those seeds that he plants are the seeds that contribute to success in the lives of individuals, of human beings. I believe that he follows a design that is given to us by Almighty God, Allah, in his Quran, in the 103rd surah, where he outlines for us the seeds for success for human beings. He says that by the token of time, through the ages, that indeed mankind is at loss. Human beings are at loss, except for the one who have faith and who do good works and who join together in the mutual teaching of truth and mutually promoting patience and constancy among each other. I believe those are the seeds that this leader plants every time he comes before us. Remember, I said that that surah is not my words, these are words of Allah, where he says that indeed the human being is at loss, except for the ones who have faith in their life and they follow up that faith, or they join in that faith with good works. You cannot have one without the other. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, or he condemned rather, he condemned, in reports that we have, he condemned the people who just prayed and fasted and did not work. There was a person who was seen at the masjid praying and fasting all the time. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he asked the people, he said, well, who takes care of him? Where does he get his sustenance from? And they said, well, we take care of him. He said, you are better than him. You are better than him. So you are better. The ones who have established faith and work in their life, they are better than the ones who just fast and pray. And Imam Al-Amin before me, he mentioned that we're not people who are just trying to talk to you and take you up into the clouds on a spiritual high. That's not what we're here for. We're here to give you what we hope to be the keys of success for you and your life. And we hope that when we leave, when the Imam leaves here, that he has left here something in each and every one of us that will make an improvement in our life. The seeds for growth and development need the right environment of faith and good works and truth and patience in order to grow and develop within us. Let us give our attention to the one who has come here with a message for us that I know will improve on the quality of each and every one of our lives. I bring you Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
As-salamu alaykum.
Allahu
Akbar. Peace be unto you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The praise and the thanks is for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Alladhi khalaqana, the one who created us. Wa huwa Rabbuna, and he is our Lord. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. Glorified is he highly above what we or what they describe him to be. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem, and the prayers and the peace be on his generous and noble messenger. And we pray, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. O Allah, grant the success to Muhammad and to the followers of Muhammad as you granted to Abraham, Ibrahim, and the followers of Ibrahim, Abraham. وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And the blessed, grant blessings on Muhammad and on the followers of Muhammad as you granted blessings on Ibrahim or Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Fil alameen innaka hamidun najid. In all the worlds, you are the most praised, you are the most renowned. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And the praise and the thanks is for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Nasta'inuhu, we seek him for help. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ, and we seek him for forgiveness. وَنَسْأَلَهُ الْخَيْرَ كُلِّهِ, and we ask him for the acceptable benefits, the good benefits, all of them. Ameen. Again, I'm happy and I thank Allah for blessing us to be present here in Phoenix for this occasion. We appreciate the work, the efforts, the sincerity and the work and efforts of our staff. And we also appreciate the sincerity and the work or the efforts of those of you in Phoenix cooperating with us and cooperating with the Imam of Phoenix for our associates, and that is Imam Shamsuddin, Imam Shamsuddin. And whenever I see him, I think of the beautiful atmosphere that I enjoyed while having a dinner or lunch with him at his home. He and his wife were so Muslim-like, so hospitable. And whenever I see him, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. How nice he treated me. How hospitable he and his wife were to me. We have to also remember that without my supporters, none of this could be happening. By my supporters, I mean people who not only say they are Muslims with me, but they say that they support me. And they support me with their presence when I travel. They support me with their monies. They support me in every way that should be expected. And I am deeply indebted to them, and really, I'm working for them. If any people I'm working for them. All our work should be for Allah, but how can we work for Allah if we don't work for each other? The only way to work for Allah is to work for each other. So I work for them, and I want you to know that they have financed this occasion. They financed this occasion. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't even buy the first tickets. They donate to what we call the Mecca Fund, Muslim American Community Assistance. That's a fund that take care of my needs. I'm not employed, not for some time I haven't been employed, except in this work. So that fund takes care of my needs, it takes care of myself, my family, my dependents, and takes care of my expenses related to my work. It provides for me an office in Chicago with a telephone that has never been cut off. Lights have never been cut off. Yes. It provides for me also a home. The home, the money was bought with other money, a gift from good Saudi friends, Saudi Arabian friends. I went to them and asked them for a loan. I was going to pay them back with your money. And they told me, Brother Imam, say, you are Imam too. Say, we're supposed to give you a home. Say, you can't pay us this money back. So they gave me the money. I bought the home. So they provided a home, and you keep the lights on. The lights have never been off. The phone is on, stays on, because of your support. See, a lot of us, we just look over these things, your support. And you know how many of you are doing that? A handful out of each big city. A handful. Out of each big city. Sometimes one in a big city, two in a big city. All you have to do is look at the list in the paper, you see. Sometimes one or two in a city. But that's enough to enable me to keep functioning, to keep doing what I have to do. We would like to have more than that because we want to do more and we want to expand more, you know. We want to invest more because if we had enough in that fund, I would invest more. With the money in that fund, I would invest more in the things that we have to support us. And priority is given to our schools, Clara Muhammad Schools. And we just don't give money to anybody or any institution. We study the situation, the person, the applicant, or the person that we have nominated. We study them and make sure that they qualify for those funds. And we owe it to you to do that. If we don't have that in our own hearts, we should owe it to you who give their money. We should owe it to you to make sure that your money goes where it counts. And the same thing for the schools. We don't just give any school just because it had the name Rashidi Muhammad on it. We gave this, in fact, it wasn't just to that school, Brother Imam Fleming of Atlanta. It was to both the schools, to the elementary schools, to the Clara Muhammad School, and also to the high school that wears my name because they wanted it to carry my name. I don't want anything to carry my name. Sometimes I don't even want my own self to carry my name. But I respect the sentiments of the people, especially when those sentiments are sincere. So the Philadelphia school also was given a large contribution. And another school in the New England area was given a contribution. And the school in the New England area, the school in Philadelphia, the school in Philadelphia, pardon me, sends money to the Mecca Fund. I said, what is this? They will not qualify next year. I mean, they got money to give to the Mecca Fund. We have to find another school, not the Philadelphia school next year. So they have put themselves out. They're not even being considered for any contribution from the Mecca Fund because they are giving money to the Mecca Fund. I don't know how they feel about that, but that's the first time I said that. So they get it. They'll get the message. the MassJet in the New England area, they make for that size, they make a tremendous contribution.
I don't encourage Methodists to make contributions to the Mecca Fund. Why? Because there are some imams that are so weak, they'll raise money for the Mecca Fund just to raise money for themselves. You know? So I don't encourage that. In fact, I feel kind of nervous about that. But I can't stop you from doing it. If you raise money for the Mecca Fund in your mosque, I can't stop that. But please don't let me find any of you abusing that right. Because if you do, I'll come out and I'll expose you. If you raise money for the Mecca Fund, send it to the Mecca Fund. Don't pay your light bill with it. And then send part of it, a piece of it, you know, don't do that. And I have evidence that that has happened. That's why I'm saying these things. That's why I'm saying it. Yes, so the people that make it possible for us to come here and make it possible for me to function and for my ministry to keep going are you, and you are all over the United States. Very few outside the United States. The sister, she's been over in Saudi Arabia working over there for some time now, for a few years, several years. She faithfully donates. Small amount, but it's appreciated. She sends all the way from Saudi Arabia, $20, to the Mecca Fund. And there's at least over 50% of you, I believe, I haven't looked at the percentage, but I believe it's close to 65% or more of you that have been doing this ever since I announced the Mecca Fund. Faithful, very, very faithful. I know your names. I know your names just as well as I know my children's name, because your name is always there, just coming up all the time. So what I'm saying, that we have a certain group of people who are consistent in supporting the Mecca Fund. They've been doing that ever since the Mecca Fund has been established. Very consistent. Those people represent our stable people. Stable people, they're stable. Stable people. They are not wavering. They are not coming and going and changing their minds. They know, they see, they saw what they wanted to support. They support it, and they don't change their mind. That makes for success. That makes for success. And the man told you right when he said that I don't come here for your money. I don't say little money. Your money is bigger than mine, most likely. See, I try to follow the best principles of a Muslim, the best principles of a Muslim. Those best principles are established in the life of our prophet, reflected in his life and established on the pages of history for us, the best principle. So if you see this suit here, this is a nice suit. I don't know if you can see it. This is a nice suit. This suit can wrinkle up and I can hang it in the closet and wear it the next day. It presses itself. This is a very nice suit. Do you think I bought this suit? No. This suit was given to me by the King of Morocco, along with three others. Very nice suit. Very nice suit. I wore it for Tuna. I said, Tuna's got money. I'm going to show him what I can wear. I'm not saying this to get you to look at me as some special person. I don't see myself as some special person. I see myself as an ordinary human being just striving to be better. That's how I see myself. But I'm saying this for you to know the kind of person I am, and I have a right to tell you the kind of person I am. You know, some people think that that an imam is just like any public figure, government figure. You have the right to even know what's in his bank account and how he's spending his money, you know, and where his money is coming from and all that. I agree with that. I agree with that. And anytime you want to know, if you just write me, I'll let you know. But I'm not going to publish it for everybody. No. I'm not going to publish it for everybody. Or some people might look down on me. They say, he ain't got no more money than that. Yeah, some people will, you know. People think I'm rich. I have so much trouble. My son, he asked me for something real big. It was too much money. I said, what? Oh, I know you're rich. My friends tell me you're rich. My friends on the street tell me you're rich. That's my son. So I said, well, what's that? I said, where's it coming from? I said, you got the Mecca Fund. Well, I better not hear Imam saying that. The Imam Debbie Dean got the Mecca Fund. I got trust I got the trust for the Mecca Fund. You give me the trust for that. I'm sure that you don't say all this money has is supposed to be spent on you personally, Brother Imam. You think you're helping the cause. You think you're helping the mission, the propagation effort. That's what you think you're doing. And we owe it to you to do that with that money. And to spend as less of it as we possibly can on ourselves, on our own pleasures. And that's what I try to do. I borrow from the Mecca Fund. And I got a big debt in Chicago. About the last six months, I've been under strain, and I got a big debt in Chicago. But I'm not worried. I'm going to pay it back. I'll pay it back to the Mecca Fund because I get a nice salary. I'm on a monthly salary. I get a nice salary. You want to know how much it is?
No.
I'm not going to tell you. But any of you who write, who send in those contributions consistently, I owe it to you to tell you. You write me and ask me, I will tell you. I'll send you back the figures. And any other documents that you would like to see, I'll send you a copy of those too. Yes. So we wanted clear that we came here to mainly to address and to speak to our people that faithfully support us because they believe as we believe. They want what we want. They're Muslims, sincere Muslims. That's who we come here for, mainly. And we know they're going to come from the areas around. We weren't dependent on just the people of Phoenix. Someone told me there's only 3% of African-American people here. And we know what we can expect from the established people, white people, rich people, too. They're going to come to America. They're going to come to us. We don't expect that. They don't come to the church people. They don't. The African-American church. Go there and see the four African-American church people.
Right.
They got the same people we got, you know. They got their faithful poor followers, their faithful poor associates. I'd rather call you associates because we all are followers of the prophet. Yes. They got their faithful poor associates and that's it, you know. They don't expect the big people to come. So I mainly came in your interest. That's where I come. And whenever I go all over this country, that's what I'm going for. I want it very clear what I'm doing. I'm carrying the message of Al-Islam the best way I know how to. But I am also interested in the life of people, mainly the suffering people. Whether they are suffering because of their own ignorance or whether they're suffering because of their own bad mind and behavior. Still, we want to give them a chance to see something else, to look at something different, and maybe they will change. So, and not only that, we come hoping also that people, established people, will look at what's changing our life, with what's motivating us, and appreciate it. And who knows, maybe they won't take it from our hand, but they will go and find it from someone else's hand that they figure is more valuable than our hand. More dignified in our hands, and they will have it anyway. They will have it also. So we hope that we will reach the people high and low, while our address is mainly to the people down here with us on the street, on the ground, suffering and struggling, trying to survive, trying to find our way out of our miseries. And I don't think we can do that by getting down with the people. We got to get up above the people. We have to be disciplined, clean, principled, upright, dignified, truthful, honest, well-meaning, conscious of things that should be respected, and then we talk from that position, and if they're down, we're not talking down to them, but we are up. We are not down. That's what I believe in. And I believe more and more we should be looking to put ourselves up higher and higher in the scale of excellent conduct, excellent character, excellent behavior, and significant, rich thoughts and aspirations. You don't have to be rich to think rich. You don't have to be rich to want riches. You don't have to be money to talk money. Just having that mind is going to improve your situation for getting there. And I believe that courage in me is owing much to the great courage of my late father, my father, the late leader of the so-called Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad. He was a poor man, never graduated from elementary school, taught himself how to read, taught himself how to spell. He educated himself. He never went to school. He went to school about 3 years in Georgia. What is a third grade education? Nothing. And he had the courage to tell us to look for business establishments, to work for business establishments, to establish business, not small business, big business. He had the courage to tell us to dignify us, to ourselves, so we would be respected in the eyes of dignified society, not only in America, but throughout the international world. He was a man inspiring and motivating us to meet the dignified picture or image of the strongest and the best and most progressive people on this earth. And that's what you aim for. You don't aim for something small. You aim for the biggest that you can imagine. You aim for the best you can imagine. And then you'll be in a situation for the greatest success. So he was a great inspiration and a great lesson for me, Elijah Muhammad. Some of you all recall him and you love him because he's called the white man the devil. I think you are very poor. I think you are poor in hell. You're very poor. I'm rich. I have the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's rich contributions. And you just remember him for cursing out white people. You have nothing but poverty. And it hurts my feeling to see people that excited over my father for those reasons and overlooking his main and most valuable contributions. Well, that's another story. But I'm in the desert. That's how come I'm talking like this. Let us understand what we're facing here when we want to make progress with our life, to establish our life as Muslims in America. We are, by our makeup, our racial makeup, we are African Americans. We have a few people among us that's not African American, but we are African Americans. So we have to depend upon an African American association of people for our progress. We are not typical of the African American people in the society of America. We are not typical of them. We have Islam in our lives, so it makes us different. Islam makes us different. Some of you are not aware of that. To not be aware of that is to put yourself in a bad situation. Islam should make you different. And if you're not different, then something is terribly wrong. An African-American Muslim is not to be just like typical of African-American person. An African-American Muslim should be distinguished among African-American persons. Yes. And trying to distinguish yourself by wearing a fez or the Nehru suit, a Pakistani dress, are the cloaks of the Saudis. is not enough.
That's right.
That will not help you at all, because they can go to Hollywood, to the movie or the TV, and see those actors on there wearing the same dress.
That's right.
So I wear these clothes. And I love my brothers who wear the Eastern clothes. I meet African Americans and they wear the Eastern clothes. I don't judge them by that. I'd be hoping that they have the distinct life, Islamic life, and are just wearing the clothes, you see. But really they have the substance of life. That's what I'd be hoping. And when I see that they're just wearing the clothes and don't have, then that hurts. But I don't make any judgment before I find out. I like to get to know the person. I greet the person. I want to see how they act. Because that one who's wearing nothing but the shell out there, you will know him real soon. In fact, you just give him the greetings and let him say a few things. You know, say, As-salamu alaykum. Walaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And inshallah, and inshallah, and inshallah. Fi ma'allah. And you wonder what he's talking about. And you didn't even say anything. Mashallah. You didn't say anything. He says, Mashallah, Mashallah. So right away you know. Doesn't take long to find out that he's just wearing something over his body, ain't nothing inside. But we don't want to go to the extreme and try to dress ourselves up externally and internally to be like American people. We want to set an example for American people. We want to be an influence with our life and our behavior to influence more Americans to take on a new American identity. We would like to be the factor for bringing about change in America's behavior and in American identity of the American people. We hope that one day there will be strong Americans, but will have a stronger Islamic flavor in their lives. Yes. We hope to influence them to take on our excellence. We are not looking to take on their weaknesses. No. We don't want to take on their weaknesses. We want to keep our excellence, and if their excellence is compatible with ours, then we appreciate that. We love them even more as citizens of this country, and we identify with them more because their excellence is compatible with ours. But we will never exchange ours for theirs. We will be stone fools to do so. Yes. If you know your religion, if you understand Quran, if you are a true believer, you will appreciate what I'm saying now. So we have to know what we're faced with. We're African Americans. African Americans have been in this country. It's called a free country. It's a free country. It's known as the free country. We're supposed to be the most liberal people in the international world. In a sense, we are. We're supposed to be the most human people in the international world. In a sense, we are. We're supposed to be freer than any other people in the international world. And in a sense, we are. But we have real serious problems, and we know that. Real serious problems, and we know that. Look at our history as a people. A little better than 100 years ago, we were slaves. And a lot of us would like to forget that. A lot of us have forgotten that. Some of our children don't even know that. And it's a shame. And it's a shame. You heard the words of the educator who says that people who forget their past are likely to repeat it. So it's a shame on us that we don't keep our people informed, our own children informed. Yes, just a little better than 100 years ago, this country had us as their slaves, as its slaves. Correction. And about 20 years ago, or better, well, about 25 years ago or so, The law in this country was for whites and not for us in many city states of this country. And even in the North, where we thought it was good, the sentiments of the courts were not favoring us and favoring others. And it was hard to find justice even in the North. I'm not saying all that's done away with, but at least it's changed on the books. At least it's not in the law anymore, and it's not recognized as acceptable anymore for a judge or a court to favor other citizens over us and disrespect the obligation to do justice. That's not accepted anymore, though it still happens. And we are not the only victims. Other people are victims of the same thing. They're not African American, they're victims too of the same thing. Certain defects and certain evils are going to continue. And that's why we have to always be enlisted in the army of the righteous. And respond as we should respond when we see injustice. Be on the side of those who are fighting for justice always. Yes. So that's going to continue. We look at the history of our people, and we see what has happened. We have come from slavery to freedom. We have come from separation and segregation, discrimination, to be granted equal opportunity, inclusion. Now, I know you'll say, well, we don't have that yet. Look, the talk you're talking now has nothing to do with our race. There are other people, too, that they don't have it yet either. In fact, there are many other ethnic people in this country that don't even have what we have. They don't have the opportunity to rise in the political life as we do. Some of them, they're not even accepted right now in the political life. They're starting at day one, some ethnic people in this country. I'm not going to name any, but you think a little bit, you'll see, you'll find out, you'll recognize them, identify them. if you don't have education or resources that impress the big people or impress the people with power, you're not wanted. And you're going to have to really get something going for you or really press real hard and bring a lot of attention to your case in order to make it. That's not something aimed at African-American people. That's just the attitude of the establishment to keep all of those that don't have what they have out. And that's the situation all over this world. I don't think it's any different across the waters. In fact, most places across the water, you'll find it even more difficult. You'll find the situation much worse. Yes. Again, I say, let us look at our situation that we're facing if we want to establish the Islamic life and the Muslim life in America. As African Americans, we are free now in this country. And many of us are very wealthy. Very wealthy. So just to get money is not the answer. So there are some of us who have plenty of money. Some of us have plenty of money and also education. Like Bill Cosby. He has a doctorate, he's an educated man, and also a rich man. But do you think he feels comfortable? You think he's happy? Some of the most miserable of our kind, of our lot, are those with education and money. They're the most miserable. Why? Because they discover that it's not the amount of money that you have. No, you can be rich, 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 rich. But still, if you're African American, and people recognize you as such. Now, if you're so light that they mistake you for a white person or a Spanish person, that's different. You know, you might. Some of us we are passing. You know, they used to tell me about that when I was a boy. Yeah, some of us passing, you know. Well, look, more of us passing today than ever. Yes. Yeah, we're passing and we're doing so well, you know, until attention come on us. The wealth will not do it. The education won't do it. Why? Because everybody don't know you. When they find, even most of the American people, when they find out, even when they learn about you, they have two pictures of you. They have one picture of you as the achiever, who succeeded, and they have another picture of you as a member of a lot that is a failure.
That's it. That's it.
And even though they appreciate you as the achiever, they don't want you staying around them too long or getting too close to them,
right,
because you are a member of the people that is a failure.
That's right.
That are failures. Yes. This is the situation. So we have to be aware of that. If we are talking about establishing ourselves in America, establishing our life in America, we have to be aware that just getting money ain't going to do it. Just getting an education ain't going to do it. What will do it? We have to work at changing the behavior of the African-American people. We have to work at changing the behavior of the African-American